Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. How far do I need to go beyond myself to think about others, to think about the environment around me, to think about the world around me? I know that the Torah wants us to be sensitive to going beyond ourselves, not just be so self-focused that I just think about what's good for me, what's good for my immediate circle. It's part of the reason I think God wants us to be givers. God is a giver and we're supposed to emulate God's ways. There's the whole concept of chesed, gemilut chesedim, of doing acts of loving kindness for other people. And in certain ways, I almost say this really goes beyond and expands us beyond what it's a human nature is, which is maybe to be a little bit more selfish. Just think about myself, what's good for me, what's good for the people that are more specifically and directly within my circle. But we're supposed to really expand ourselves, to think outside of ourselves, to be giving to others. And it's supposed to be going beyond me. Yes, I need to give to myself to make sure I'm in a good place, but I also have to think outside of myself. I should be focusing on my family, but I also need to think outside of my family, to my community, and to my people, and to the world around me. But the question is, how far does this go? Because I feel like there's an endless need in the world for help, for giving, for caring. And in a way, God gave us, you know, an opportunity to continually give and give and give. The question is, how far should I be expanding myself? How sensitive do I need to be when I hear there's a need? How much should I sort of put my life aside to some degree in order to help and do good and give to others, especially since there is such great need out there? How far do I have to almost inconvenience myself sometimes if I realize that someone else has a need? You know, should I be going out of my way? Or say, you know, it's not really convenient for me right now. I don't have to feel bad about saying no. I definitely think there is a place to say no. You know, we're limited. We're human beings. We have limited capacities for things. But at the same time, we also are supposed to be, to some degree, stretching ourselves to thinking beyond ourselves. But how far should we be stretching ourselves? And sometimes this is really a matter of balance in life. We know there's a certain value. There's a value of thinking outside of ourselves, of giving and caring about others. But again, how do we balance this value so that there's still me, and I still can take care of myself, and yet there's me that goes beyond myself, almost goes against the maybe natural human nature of just to really solely think about myself, to do good for others and for the world around me? So when we return, I want to address this with Rabbi David Aaron to really get a sense of what does the Torah, what does God want from us when it comes to this balance of recognizing there's me, but how far do I need to go outside of myself and stretch myself to be there for others and have sensitivity to those and the world around me? When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
David Aaron. Rabbi Aaron, I want to ask you, we're post Tisha B'Av now, and we've really been talking a lot, and I've been thinking a lot about the idea of creating a sense of loving others, not needing a specific reason to care for other people. And the more that I've been working on this, the more I get this sense of it's like an expansion of there's me and there's myself. And I think we live in a society where we're very self-focused. I think of myself. And then who's in my circle that I expand myself maybe to my family, my husband, my children, hopefully. But the Torah really wants us to expand ourselves much further, to like stretch out the eye, that it's not just even supposed to be this me. It's not supposed to even just be this intimate circle of my family. We're supposed to extend it out further and further to try to include more people, be sensitive to other people outside of ourselves, even going beyond people that we know, to really expand ourselves to be caring. My question is, how do those parameters work? Meaning, I understand I'm supposed to be more sensitive to others, and I'm really actively working on that. But when it comes to being sensitive and caring and investing and really like being empathic and taking action to try to do good to those outside of myself, especially as my eye, sense of eye expands. How far am I supposed to let this expansion go? Because I realize, as much as I think it's an amazingly wonderful thing and they're very special people, that, you know, any person they meet on the street that seems to be in need, or any person that, you know, is collecting, especially if you live in a city where there's lots of people collecting and there's so many situations and there's so much need and so many phone calls. Sometimes recently I seem to have gotten on the charity list of phone calls and I'm getting phone call after phone call. And at a certain point you think, I would love to give more, but like, how much should I be giving and doing good? How far should my expansion of self be?
Right. Well, so that's a great question. And the first thing, I just want to clarify something. It's not really expanding my sense of I. According to the secrets of Torah, our self is already connected with the entire universe, with every human being. We're kind of like an ocean, whereby every wave in the ocean is actually connected to the entire ocean. Even though you could have miles, thousands of miles away, an ocean, but this wave is, there is this continuum. There isn't a separation. So you might say that every wave of the ocean is the entire ocean waving at this point and in that point, but really, and so too, each and every one of us, so to speak, creating the image of God is actually a unique manifestation of the totality of the soul of all of mankind, which is God. And so it's not expanding myself, it's kind of realizing my true self as part of a greater self that I share with all human beings. And that sounds really pretty trippy when you think about it, like, wow, that's like, wow. But practically, what are the implications of that? So, you know, we have a commandment to love our neighbor as ourself. And so how does that work? You know, how does that work? We also have a commandment, Ohevet Debriot, to love all creatures, all creation, not just human beings. We should care about all of creation. But practically, how does that work? So, you know, practically, because I am, you know, I first have to take care of my family. I have responsibility to take care of my family. And they come first because they're my family. After that comes my, not as close, but my family, you know, my immediate family, but my family. Then beyond that is my community. And in terms of even the laws of charity, I don't have the right to be giving money to another community if my community needs help. And then within that is my people, the Jewish people. And then going past that is all mankind. And going past that is all creatures. But practically, although the ideal is to love everybody, practically that's not going to be so easy. And you got to start with, you know, your connection to everybody. I might have shared a long time ago a story. I was at a concert and the rabbi was singing and everyone was very, very connected to each other. And it was very beautiful energy. And suddenly the rabbi stopped all the singing. It was kind of awkward in the middle of a song. And he said to the crowd, there was maybe 500 people there, "Friends, do you want world peace?" Well, we all thought that was a very bizarre question. What's it got to do with the song? And we were all in the middle of a song. And why did you interrupt the song? And then he turned to the crowd and said, "I'm talking about brotherhood and sisterhood, global." So, you know, so we all say yes. So he says, "Okay, so let's do it now." "Now?" "Yes, let's do it now. Can you just love the person next to you now for the next 10 minutes? And remember the challenge that suddenly you put it right in our faces, like, you know, like, let's make this real. Like, the connection to the whole world is the guy sitting next to you. So it's very easy to say, you know, I love all of mankind, it's just people I hate. You know, like, you know, it can be very abstract and it could really be a cop out. So first of all, those who are within our reach and our immediate connection, which are our families and those that we have daily interactions with, we can't take care of the world when those close to us, either by family or just practically within our daily lives, we're not taking care of them.
Hmm. And especially when you explain that we're like a drop in the ocean, which means we're all ultimately connected. And then when we're taking care of our families, that's also having a whole effect on the whole world, because it's like my little piece of the world is being improved and is being taken care of, and that has an effect on the entire picture of the world.
Yeah, well, it actually starts with ourselves. We have to love ourselves. We have to work on being compassionate and kind to ourselves. And all the love we want others to give us, we have to give ourselves too. We have to love ourselves as much as we want others to love us too. And that is, you know, that is going to have this ripple effect throughout the entire world, because we're all connected. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, the great Hasidic master, he gives this example as if people climbing up a ladder and holding a rope. And so when one goes up, he brings the other one up with him, and one goes down, he drags everybody down with him. We are that connected to each other. And the Rambam says that everybody should see that this next deed could tip the scale of bringing merit or the opposite to the whole world. So Judaism does have this very strong idea that although our bodies seem to, not just seem to, our bodies are giving us this perspective, this orientation that I live in this separate being and I'm in this sack of skin separate from everybody else, it's not true. We're all really connected. And just as much as you get on a bus and somebody yawns and you yawn too, we are very interfaced, and therefore when you love the person next to you, that is a serious part of how you love the world.
When you talk about starting with ourselves and then our families and then the moving out, there also has to be, I was thinking, a certain perspective, because I definitely, like, I thank God I'm blessed with 4 children and I'm very busy with my kids. I'm blessed to be pretty much at home with them. I do very much try to be part of the community and do a lot of, you know, helping out when it's necessary and inviting and part of learning and giving classes, which is wonderful. But I also know, like, you know, sometimes you see people who have very large families and they somehow still find time to help other people. And you have people that seem to have much smaller families and much smaller demands, and yet it consumes them completely. But so I definitely see that there's a certain mindset that's involved into what it's, because, like, really a person could easily be consumed just with their own more immediate circle and private affairs and feel like, you know, I don't really have time to help out for this community event or help out with this organization or help this person in need because my own family, you know, is takes up all of my time. But, and again, I think there's a mindset that sometimes it is an expansive mindset that sometimes enables me to still be there for my family, but then still somehow have or find the time to be doing for others. But on the other hand, I've definitely also seen people who almost to some degree, it's like trying to save the world. They ignore themselves and they ignore their own families. So this balance of knowing how to be a part of this expansion of self to help others beyond just myself is very tricky sometimes to find.
You know, I don't think there's one answer that fits all. I think everybody has to know who they are and what their capacity is. And everybody has a very different, you know, family situation. You can have 10 families, each one with 4 children. But every family, this kid needs so much attention and you have so much energy. And I really think everybody has to know themselves and stretch themselves just a little bit outside their comfort zone, but not way too much. And I do believe that family comes first. And I have seen people who are very immersed in Jewish, you know, communal work at the risk of losing their own children. And I don't feel we have the right to do that. And so, you know, my wife and I were very, very careful being a public personality. I was very worried that my kids should never feel, you know, angry that kind of Judaism stole their father from them. And that would be hard on students that very much wanted to be invited to my home. But very often I felt my family needed to have just some private time and just not be with Rabbi Aaron, but be with their father. And so I think everybody has to do that kind of inner accounting for themselves and be honest with themselves and be very careful. I mean, I had a student, her father was a well-known doctor. He was known for the incredible kindness and his incredible commitment to the community, but he abused her. He actually gave her a black eye once. I mean, and only she knew, you know, that her father had this angry and cruel side to him, but on the public side, everyone thought he was, you know, this great righteous man. I'm not saying he was this or that, you know. Sometimes you have your righteous moment and sometimes you have your non-righteous moment. And I'm not judging. I'm just pointing out that we have to be very careful that the work we do in the community is not a cop-out from what the work we need to do at home. And sometimes we get a lot more acknowledgement. So therefore, it's not about giving. It's about taking. Mm. It's really about getting and looking good rather than doing good.
So it is really important to be honest with ourselves, because any trait or value that can be very positive, it can also be used in a negative way. And it really takes a good truth looking at ourselves in the mirror to know how to balance things right, what's motivating us, and again, how to take something that is inherently good, helping and doing good for others, but how to use it in the right way. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simento from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simento, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron, getting a better sense of how much do we expand ourselves to help and do for others. And Rabbi, before the break, earlier on in the segment, you gave a really important list as far as practically how much to give and share ourselves with others. And it starts with ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves first, then our immediate family, our community, our people, all of mankind, and then all of creatures. And, you know, before the break, we were talking about to what extent, how much energy does one have to give to others if they're giving to their family. But then I was also thinking about the fact that some of these things can sort of be done simultaneously to some degree, but it's just a matter of how do we prioritize our energy, our time, our focus, what we care about, or what isn't that important to us, how much we put a little of that extra effort. As you said, we can't extend ourselves too much, but how much do we extend ourselves versus how much do we just sort of say, you know, this is a little too difficult for me. I could, but I just don't want to. And I was thinking, especially in contrast for the idea of, let's say, the first top on the list is taking care of myself. Bottom of the list is all of creatures, right? Say, let's say the world, right? The world is important to care about the world and take care of it. But that, that's at the bottom of the list compared to the idea of being there for other people. But that's an example of, like, simultaneously, I'll give you an example. Someone sent me an article recently about the problems of our non-recycling and all the plastic building up in the world and how it's polluting the oceans and how it's having an effect on the whole atmosphere. And as I was reading this article, and it's true, and it's talking about specifically where we live, that's, you know, we're very into throwaway. It's just much easier when you're entertaining a lot, you have a large family, just it's easier to throw dishes away than to have to wash them, clean them up. It's easier to throw them out than to separate them and recycle them. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, you know, it's so true. There have been times in my life where I thought about recycling. I've even done it. But it takes a little bit of extra effort, a little extra thought, a little extra space to have separate bags, separate things out, instead of just throwing it all in the trash, putting it in the recycle bin. On the other hand, I was thinking, you know, there's that issue of myself. On the other hand, there's my extending myself a little bit to have care for the world. And it's just, again, an example of, I think, sometimes it's hard to know what mindset should I be in. Should I extend myself a little bit more because I guess I should care about the world around me a little bit more? Or say, you know, it's not really that inconvenient. It's not something I really have to feel guilty about if it's not something that I do. And I know this is just a specific example, but I realized some of these things are also a general mindset that I think we have towards the world around us, the people around us in general.
Well, you know, if the thought is in your mind, then I think you should go ahead and act it out. In other words, it's already something that you're struggling with, so that's something I think you need to honor. How much effort you should put into it, again, only you can do the accounting of how you budget your time. But I find it helpful in my life to kind of grade situations in my life, like on a scale of 1 to 10. How much of a hassle would this actually be? You know, 10 being a huge hassle, 1 being not much at all. And very often we find that when you kind of ask that question and kind of put a number to it, you start to realize, you know, this is no big deal. I could do this. You know, it's just like even when people are dieting, I suggest to them, you know, like there's certain foods that you're eating. Ask yourself, you know, how much do you actually like potato chips? And you know, and you find that people say, well, actually, from 1 to 10, one. So that's an easy one to give up because you don't like it anyways so much anyways. But people don't think that way, and kind of like we need to look at things and ask ourselves, really, how much of a hassle is this? And certainly is there not much of a hassle at all. Why shouldn't we do that?
That is such a good practical tip, I have to say, because especially when it comes to just making that little extra effort or that little extra stretch. That was very helpful that you said, you know, earlier on, that we should try to stretch ourselves a bit. Don't stretch yourself beyond so that you can fall apart and more important things end up falling through the cracks. But on the other hand, there is an importance of stretching ourselves a little bit more. And when we can do this grading system of how much of a hassle is this, if it's not that much of an extra hassle and it is a good thing to do, then that would be the example of stretching myself a little bit more to be more sensitive to the world around me and more caring about the general, you know, global world, the humanity, etc. If it seems like it would be a much bigger hassle, then I might say, again, this is maybe not for me right now, even if I recognize this is probably an important thing to do. That's a very, very helpful and practical way to sort of gauge ourselves.
I think it's also important to understand that this is not being selfless. And Rav Kook has an amazing article where he, although he doesn't name Friedrich Nietzsche, most scholars of Rav Kook's writings believe that Rav Kook is actually addressing Friedrich Nietzsche, because Nietzsche says that ethics are going bankrupt for sure, because the ethical life is asking people to be selfless, and man by nature is selfish. Rav Kook agrees that man by nature is selfish, and that is the source of ethics, because when you know that your true self is connected to everybody else, then you care about everybody else, because it's the most selfish thing you could do. You know, like, I care about my feet and I care about my hands because they're a part of me, and that's selfish. So if Cook says he's right, you know, we can't be selfless. You know, nobody's really selfless, but there's low selfishness and there's higher selfishness. The higher selfish is, I'm so selfish that I care about everybody else because I know how connected I am to everybody else, and their embetterment is mine. So when a person becomes more conscious of the ecology, then they expand. They feel better about themselves because they by contributing to a world, or to the world and the goodness of the world, I feel bigger because I'm part of something much bigger. I'm invested in something much bigger. So we get a lot out of it. And I think part of the thing that undermines people is they think, well, I'm not so selfless. And the answer is no, don't be selfless. Be really selfish. And if you really, really want to be selfish, do something for others, because that will make you feel good, because you will feel part of something greater than yourself.
But so much of this is also so dependent on the understanding that you've shared, that we really are all connected to each other. Because if I think that I'm separate from you, it's a very different understanding of when I'm doing something for someone else than if I recognize that I'm really connected to you, and recognizing that I am selfish and that's how I'm made and that's okay. But by doing good for you, it's also going to help me, and ultimately it's going to help the world because we are all connected. But these perspectives are hugely important for really understanding and changing our lives as far as how we interact with other people.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But, you know, before, as I was saying, even though there's this list of priority, a lot of times there is some sort of an overlap. And it's not like, oh, I've, you know, used up all my energies on myself, now I have no energy out for anybody else. It also all connects, because as you're saying, the more I can expand out, even in some of these categories outside of my family, outside of my community, outside the people, it's the more I'm expanding myself. So then I potentially also have more energy to some degree to give if it's coming from the right place.
Well, there's no better feeling than helping others feel better. And that's so, you know, somebody once asked me, you know, about love and selflessness. And I said, you know, love transcends selfish, selfless, you know, like, you know, this whole concept of being altruistic, is it even a real question? When a person's altruistic, and if they feel good about being altruistic, then it's not altruistic anymore. And is there anything wrong with feeling good that you're doing good? Why? No, of course not. It's good that you feel good that you're doing good. And so just do good in as much as you can without burning yourself out and then resenting it and then undermining all the good you could do. And, you know, sometimes people, because they can't do the best, they don't do what's good. And then best becomes the enemy of good. So start, you know, small. Or if a person says, wow, they, you know, it's really a very classic kind of way to undermine doing something by trying to do it more. Just start. Do something small and then you'll build from there. And sometimes when a person thinks, well, I'm going to start recycling everything and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and then they do nothing because they set themselves up for something very big. But they say, you know what? I'm going to start with this. We'll see where it goes. And you know, when you start something good, then it draws you into even more and even more and even more. But sometimes because people want to jump high, they don't jump at all.
And that's also really good practical advice, the idea of starting small, because I think also, and I've experienced this myself too, I get all inspired, but then I jump too far, and then I feel bad that I didn't live up to what I had hoped I'd be able to do, and then it's just sort of like this crash, and you feel like, I don't know, I guess I just can't do this. Where it's much more realistic and much more likely to, for setting ourselves up for success, to start small, start with small victories, and then it's, again, each one, I guess it's almost like building a muscle, sensitivity muscles, and giving muscles, and kindness muscles. If you, you know, you try to take too heavy of a weight, you're just going to crash and fall. If you can take something, you know, a little bit at a time, it really does give us the capacity to build up our abilities.
Right.
You know, I think tremendously, I was recently reading a book about a tremendous giver. You're probably familiar with her, Rebbetzin Henny Machlis. There's a wonderful book called Emuna with Love and Chicken Soup. And this woman was huge as far as her capacities to give. And at first you read this book and it's inspiring to know there's such a woman that lived during our times. Very recently she passed away. Just to know that such a person, such a giving, loving, kind, expansive person could exist. But then sometimes it could almost be this feeling of like, I'm so far from where this woman is, I don't even know if I could ever get to such levels. But the book is written in such a brilliant way in that at the different points in the book, it stops and it's called Raising Your Bar. And it gives, basically, to be inspired by what you're reading, but very small little things. Like she'd have a few hundred guests for Shabbat. Maybe once a month, invite one person that you wouldn't have thought of inviting for Shabbat. Meaning, and it was such a smart book because, again, I think it's important for us to see that there is so much out there in the world, so much we can give, so much we can do, so much growth potential that we have. But it was also so smart of giving inspiration, but then in practical way showing, we understand most people are not this expansive, are not at this level. So pick something small and doable, but let the inspiration lead you to some practical, something practically positive and change.
I'm glad you brought that up because I do think this is a really clever way that we undermine what we do by jumping too high and then not jumping at all. And I know I tell people less is more because you'll get to more if you start with less. And when you shoot for more, it'll be less because you'll burn out and you'll say, well, I can't handle this.
Wow. That is very, very helpful advice. And really, I think for so many of us who are, again, I'm sort of in this inspiration mode of hearing different things, noticing different things, as you're saying, noticing the fact that I'm even thinking about, let's say, even the recycling idea. But again, to as we're inspired to realize that the best way to take inspiration and make it actually hold is to take small steps, not to leave. When we return, Soul Talk with Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Shalom from the heartland of Israel. This is David HaIvri. Join me every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 o'clock Eastern, for A Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Hear the news and views from the heartland of Israel every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time. Be there.
Welcome back to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron talking about really expanding ourselves, how to become more, but how to do it right so that we don't lose ourselves. And Rabbi, before the break, you were talking, such a powerful line you said, and less is more because if we do less, we'll actually be able to acquire more and do more and become more. You said it really beautifully. I'm just giving over the idea. But I was thinking, you know, it's interesting. I think one of the reasons why we sometimes do too much is because if we make a huge change in our life, even if it's not realistic to keep it up, we feel like we can see it. Wow. Like, you know, let's say with my recycling project, I never recycled. And now look at all these bags. Look at, you know, I'm so careful, everything I'm doing. And maybe some people can do that. But on the other hand, oftentimes taking these big leaps or look, you know, I never really had that many guests for Shabbat, but look at this woman I'm reading about. I'm going to invite like 10 people. At least that's nothing like the 100 she had. But sometimes if we overdo it, we can burn out, and then all of a sudden it feels good, because at first it looks like, wow, look at the change I've made. Whereas if we do something small, we maybe don't feel it as much, and you know, and it can take time to see how, wow, it's almost like building muscle. You're not going to see it right away. So I think there is a reason that sometimes we almost do too much, because at least like immediately we feel like, wow, I can see I've made this big change, even if it's not realistic to keep it up. Whereas when we do something small, it's going to take time. But I'm thinking about myself. It's true. If I look back, and we can all do this to some degree, look back on certain things I've been working on over time, I'm not the same person I was a year ago, a few years ago in certain areas, but it's been a gradual change. But it's true. Those are the things that I can even see in my own life that have really stayed with me. It's not something I've taken on and given up because it was too hard.
Yeah. And it's not only that. There are simple ways that we can add to people's lives that really requires almost no effort. Recently, I gave a talk to a group of young adults, and I said, you know, can you go to bed at the end of the day and actually say, you know, I did an act of kindness. I brought a little more happiness to somebody's life. I minimized someone's suffering somewhat. I said, today, you know, with your phone, you could easily write a short message. I'm sure we can all think of somebody that if we were to send a message, thinking about you, I hope you're well, and sending you my blessings with love and admiration. Ooh. Imagine a person just gets it out of the blue. Wow, what a smile that would put on their face. What energy that would give them. And something so small, it doesn't even take, you could do it within 60 seconds, and you would literally change a person for a few hours, maybe, who knows what, you know, just to hear from someone that they felt someone thought of them and cared. Wow. You know, and I think we are, you know, we are looking for these dramatic ways to demonstrate, you know, kindness, when we should realize that sometimes the easiest kindness is right in front of our nose, and it really could add to a person's life just to know that you thought of them and sent them a caring note. Mm.
But so much of this then really is about sensitizing ourselves to see the need that others have, or see how my words can really mean something, or that message that really, what did it take me? It took me less than a minute, and look at how that could have changed someone's day for the better. But again, it takes a certain sensitivity to be thinking outside of ourselves in such a way. And as you're right, when we have that sensitivity, it doesn't even mean it's about things that demand a lot of time, not necessarily. Sometimes I don't have that time, but I can have the thought, and that sensitivity will really start expanding me outside of myself to thinking about others. Like I sometimes, you know, you hear about these tragedies that happen on the other side of the world, and there's nothing I can do beyond saying how terrible, how miserable this must be, so difficult for other people, or even locally, sometimes things that happen to people and I have no idea who they are. And sometimes it's like I'd be left with this feeling of like, all I can do is sit here with this feeling and I can't do anything about it. And then all of a sudden I realized, but I can pray for these people. I can pray that they should have the strength that they need, and that they should not have any, you know, extra suffering. And even I feel like a prayer like that, it makes me realize that there's people I may not even know, but just hearing about something that they're going through. And at least, again, it took a clarity of in my head realizing sensitivity. You can still do something for people. And it doesn't, again, it's not going across the world on a rescue mission if that's not something that I can practically do. But there is always something that we can do, but sometimes it just takes sensitivity.
Look, you can give charity in their merit, you know, and not just pray. You can do an act of kindness and dedicate that in their merit. And because Judaism, as we earlier discussed, that we're all connected. And even though you don't feel, well, what difference is it going to make to this person? But yet somehow there is this psychic continuum that we're all tapped into, and doing something with the intention for, you know, the blessing to other makes a difference.
Hmm. It is so true. You know, when you talk about giving the charity, it's interesting because there's a new site that I check, and it seems that there's a lot of advertisements that really put in your face to families in need. It's like it must be a charity organization, and there's a lot of these pop-ups with these very unfortunate situations and these families collecting for charity. And it is interesting that the first few I was like, oh, this is so terrible, I got to give a nice donation. And then at a certain point there's this feeling of like, how much can I give already? But now that I'm rethinking this as we're talking, I'm realizing it's probably, again, take small steps. Instead of giving one large donation to an unfortunate situation, it might be better to give smaller donations to multiple situations, because every bit makes a difference. But again, it's taking these small steps instead of feeling like, again, you know, I got to help. And then, but there's only so many funds now, I have nothing left. There's always, if you know, sometimes strategizing the right way to be able to continue to give and do more without feeling like you're left with nothing at the end.
Right. Well, there is an attitude in Judaism that you should give to more places and less, because it's also training your heart to be more kind. You're literally exercising the muscle of kindness. And so your person can say, well, I'm going to make this one donation. It's going to make a huge difference to this one organization. But then you're not practicing kindness because you did it once. Here you give little bits to lots of places. You're actually, once again, kindness. And that's in the interest of everybody, that you're literally building your sensitivity to kindness.
And that really, that word building is so central, because as you're saying, you could do a one-time act that's could have a very big effect for one place or one family or one situation. But on the other hand, if that's the one donation I gave this year, I haven't changed as much as I could have as if I spread that donation 100 times throughout the year, because each time I'm, as you're saying, we have to build ourselves up.
Right, exactly.
But again, so much of what you're sharing is so life-changing, because it's recognizing these principles, recognizing these sensitivities and these perspectives. It can change the whole way I'm going about my trying to become a better person. It's sort of like trying to lift that 100-pound weight, and okay, I did it once, as opposed to slowly building ourselves up, and that's when we really build muscle. And I guess, again, it's like thinking of the kindness muscle, the giving muscle. Especially some of us, it's not necessarily as natural. And I guess the way to, there's times that someone asks me for a favor and I don't think anything of it. No big deal. And it might have meant something to them. Oh, thank you so much. Like, really, it was not a big deal. No problem. And there's other times I almost feel like someone asks for a favor. It's like, oh gosh, not now. This wasn't what I was planning on doing right now. I could do it, but I don't know. And it's like, I almost feel like I have to fight against myself. But it is interesting that sometimes it's the times that it's a little bit harder to go and do something. It's like, I did have to think about it twice instead of like, never even thought about it. Of course, no problem. That I do literally feel like I'm strengthening myself inside. I'm becoming more than when it's just really easy. It's almost, I guess, like picking up the 1/2-pound weight as opposed to picking up a 5-pound weight, that you're like, wow, I feel something's going on here.
Yes, it's, you know, everything is about pacing. And I really do think that often we think too big, and that interferes with taking the small steps. You know, every journey starts with a step. And certainly every journey that one takes by walking is one step and another step and another step and another step. And you can't, you know, fly ahead and jump over the steps. And also, you know, because Judaism has this metaphysical idea that we're all connected, that, you know, I think it's so easy to watch the news and get despaired and say, you know what good is any of this? Like, this is going on here and this is going down there. And so it's so easy to say, well, what difference will any of this make? And I'm sure our listeners have heard the famous story about this fellow who's throwing in a shellfish into the water, and the shore is like filled with thousands of fish. You know, up and down the coast, and someone comes up to this guy who's throwing them into the water, and he says, what are you doing? He says, I'm saving the shellfish. And he says, well, what difference will you make? He said, well, I'll make a difference to this one. And so I think it's so easy to look at this huge picture and say, well, you know, so I helped this one guy here on the street, but there's another, you know, million like him. What difference does it make? And the answer is, it makes a difference to him. And that's what you're responsible to do. And when you grow and that person grows, some way that will in fact influence everybody else too.
Especially since, as you said, we are all connected. So my doing something for one person is going to have an overall effect on everyone around me to some degree or another. But it was also interesting you said that every journey starts with a step, which is so true, and we can't skip the steps. And it made me realize, I think that is part of our challenge here, is that we just live in like a quick fix society. So when I want to become a better person, I just want to be better now. I want to be more, you know, significantly more expanded than where I am now. But again, that's not realistic for really making change. Just, you know, we have to sort of tone it down and realize that to really make changes in myself, it is going to be with one step at a time if I want it to last.
Rabbi Abraham Isaac Cook has a fabulous teaching. He says, great people do small things in great ways.
That is very powerful. Great people do great things in small ways. But what's so important about that?
Small things in great ways.
Thank you. Great people do small things in great ways. But that makes the small things great. And I think
That's right, because there's nothing small when you're all interconnected, then there is that ripple effect. And, you know, that concept of the butterfly flapping its wings is actually possibly causing, you know, such change in the weather on the other side of the climate, on the other side of the planet. We are so interfaced that every little good act is making a huge difference.
And that is so powerful to remember then in every day that it's not about the big, big things in life necessarily. It's about all the small little things every day that really come into our lives, that they're opportunities every day for us to make a difference in our lives and in those around us in the small ways that really are big. I want to thank you all for joining us. Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Opinion and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.